Here at Strange Magic, Amanda and I talk about our views on tarot and the ways in which we practice magic.
And we understand that other people have different ways of practicing and different interpretations of the tarot, and that's totally okay.
Take what you'd like and leave the rest. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to an episode of Strange Magic, a podcast about the tarot, friendship, politics, magic, spirituality, the Roman Empire. I am one of your hosts, Sarah Faith Gottesdiener.
And I am Amanda Yates Garcia, the Oracle of Los Angeles.
And the card that we're talking about today in the major arcana is the Emperor. And in true Emperor fashion, let's just get right into it.
All right, let's just go brass tacks, settle down, and get right in. Okay, so whenever I think of the Empire, whenever I think of the Emperor, I think of the Roman Empire. So generally, most of us don't have a very enthusiastic view of Empire for good reason. But you know, the A1 freeway in England, which connects from London to Edinburgh in Scotland, was essentially built by the Romans, and it's still used today. The Romans built things to last, and one of the reasons they could do that was they were such great administrators. They kept great records, they had strong payroll accounts, they were dispassionate and pragmatic in their building schemes, so they were able to accomplish a lot. So say what you want about Empire, the Roman Empire, the Aztecs, the Ottomans, the dynasties of China. Yes, they were oppressors. They expanded, they did a lot of bad stuff. You know, there's like slavery in most empires. You know, there's extreme imbalance of wealth. That is all true. But dudes can accomplish some stuff, some shiz.
100%. And I also, if there's any listeners right now getting uncomfortable, I do want to say we're going to talk about the patriarchy. We're going to talk about the problems. We're going to talk about the shadow side and the extremities that lie in kind of an emperor gone wrong or gone rogue. But for now, let's just talk about like the real pure essence of this card outside of all this external problematic behavior that we associate with empires and the patriarchy. The Emperor at the heart, for me, this card is concerned with affecting culture, with creating change, as well as taking leadership and accountability for the self, right? This also sort of sits along with knowing the self and knowing how powerful the self is. It's kind of like the magician squared, which I guess it kind of is. Isn't that right? The Emperor sits between the Empress, which is, as we spoke about last episode, more wild, sort of untamed and generative energy, and the Hierophant, which is larger culture, as well as our soul's work, kind of bigger picture things. The Emperor is a leader. The Emperor is traditionally the king of all the kings. It's the self as made expansive and large, and it is the self who believes they can make change, they can move mountains. The Emperor is a card of confidence, stamina, knowledge. I also see the Emperor as a bridge and a channel between the sort of hawk-like view of far-range planning and being able to see a larger landscape, as well as the ant, the strong ant, who doggedly lays out, you know, piece by piece, brick by brick. So the Emperor kind of, for me personally, sits in between sort of, where do I want to be in 5 years and 10 years? What world do I want to create around me? And then this knowing that I have what it takes day after day, week after week to make this happen, because I get to zoom in and out between kind of the hawk and kind of the ant, or, you know, whatever, insert ground type hardworking animal here. The card also asks, what world are you building and why? This is an authority figure. So the card also asks us to really look inside and ask, who's in control?
I love that. I also love that you took care of our listeners and let them know that if they're feeling uncomfortable about the Emperor, that we were going to address those issues. I feel like that was some very skillful leadership there. And I also think that it's important to notice that a lot of people, when they get the Emperor in a reading, find it troubling. Like, a lot of people resist the Emperor. I think because, you know, we work with people who tend to have been marginalized in our culture. Like, I don't have a lot of cis, hetero, white male clients. I mean, I do have some, but, you know, those are
no CEOs of Waffle House hanging out.
No CEOs of Waffle House. Yeah, I would have some things to say if they did come in. But a lot of the time I find that this card often comes up in readings when people need to renegotiate their attitude towards authorities or when they're dealing with authorities in their life or within themselves. So we have this attitude towards authority like it's bad often. We resist it. We don't respect it. We don't respect the way that it is in the world, because certainly we look out at the police, the emperors, the presidents, the CEOs, and we say, I don't respect how they operate in the world. And so because of that, we throw out the idea of authority whole hog, and we reject that because we're like, I don't want to be in that energy. I don't want to disseminate that energy out into the world. But the problem with that is that when we refuse to claim our own authority, our own power, our own responsibility, then other people who are less scrupulous than us will claim that authority. They will take it and they'll run amok. So a lot of times my clients, they are finding it really hard to accept authority and responsibility or to really realize that sort of kingly power within themselves. But they resent the way that that works out in the larger culture. But then that just means that the people who don't resent it, who love and accept that, are the ones who get to wield it in the world.
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of times when this card comes up in a reading, depending on the cards that are around it, it's really saying you deserve the right to take up space. In fact, you have like what it takes, so to speak. You have the courage, you have the stamina. It's really time for you to take yourself and your own personal and unique gifts seriously. And to your point about how people sort of wield power or kind of are afraid of it or kind of have an uncomfortable relationship with it, and talking about the empire, talking about emperors, talking about building worlds that we really want to see, I think about a tenant from the writer and activist and visionary Adrienne Marie Brown, where in Emergent Strategy, she talks about how small things are big things. And so when I really think about that with the emperor, where, you know, the way, if I want a nonviolent world, then I'm not going to yell at you, Amanda, because, you know, you did something I didn't like or something. I need to follow through. And I think the emperor, we can use the emperor as a talisman when we're trying to kind of work from the ground up in our own life to try to build the world we want to see.
Yeah. Like, how do we want to see power operate in the world? How do you want to see it operate within yourself? How do you want to see it operate in the larger world? And I love Adrienne Marie Brown's ideas about that. So starting with you, starting with the people who are around you, starting with the groups that you're already involved in. Another thing to think about with empire and the emperor is thinking about how emperors and empires fall. So the saying goes that empires crumble from within. They overextend themselves, they colonize and spread themselves all over, which breeds like resentment and resistance from people around them. They become corrupt. So if you're having trouble managing everything, it might be time to retract your energy, to clean house, to reestablish integrity.
100%. You know, in this way, the emperor can be seen as a tree, taking root and kind of stretching up at the same time, really sinking into sort of oneself. There's also this sort of idea between four, which we'll get into with the kind of numerology part of like cause and effect. So I just want to bring it up now, open up the gates with this card. We have to talk about the patriarchy. A lot of times I've witnessed in kind of revisionist spaces and activist spaces around metaphysics or the tarot, they kind of want to gloss over and go right into like the good part. And let's not talk about the patriarchy, or let's not talk about toxic masculinity and things like that. But this card is really kind of an example of we can't not, like, you can't not talk about toxic masculinity or the problems of the patriarchy when this card comes up, because we're literally talking about the emperor, which is a stand in for colonization, right?
Absolutely. I love that you bring this up. The emperor is absolutely about patriarchy and curiarchy and that sort of master servant dynamic. And I teach a workshop called Devouring Patriarchy. And in it, we discuss about how we all participate in patriarchy, not just men. So white women in particular benefit from patriarchy and are all too happy to sometimes give our power to it in return for what we think of as security. And a lot of the times, like, we resist this idea that we do this, but there's ample evidence all over the place that we do it all the time. So we have the systems that we do because the majority of people want them that way.
Or are brainwashed into or they thinking are they want them that way.
But if we didn't want them, then they wouldn't be here. So, you know, I'm not saying that there isn't a struggle because there are many people struggling against this. But my point is, the emperor takes the raw nature of the empress, the wild forest, the virgin jungle, and builds roads through it. It builds schools. It builds offices, hospitals, factories, bomb factories. Out of the trees, it extracts the minerals to make coins, to make computers. And we can say we don't like how the emperor goes into the jungle and cuts it down, but we use paper. We use the phone. We use the things that we're getting from this emperor energy in our world. And so, you know, I live in a city, I ride on airplanes. The energy of the emperor, that order of making, of quantifying, of law-giving energy will always exist. But the question that we really want to ask ourselves is, how do we want it to exist? What might a fresh image of the emperor look like? And following your lead, you know, in Adrienne Marie Brown's book, Emergent Strategies, which I encourage you all to get, it's just hugely influential and visionary work and really fun reading also. Like, she's just so inviting in terms of inviting you into, like, revision our world and power dynamics in it. She uses models drawn from nature to revision our social structures. So I guess a fresh version of the emperor might be beavers, right? If we're drawing something from nature, right? They're building structures, but it works within the system of the forest. Or ants or termites, very successful creatures. How are they working? You know, how does power work there?
Totally. And I also think of that analogy of the tree roots. Tree roots are organic and kind of wavy, but when different trees get together under the earth and intertwine, they become that much stronger. So we can also sort of revise the emperor as being a collective holding, right? How
yes.
do we sort of...
Yes.
How do we kind of do that? One of my favorite newer decks that came out in the last years is the Slow Holler deck, which is a Southern queer deck, also a collective deck. They call this card the Navigator, which I think is interesting. It's calm, composed, participating, observing, as well as leading. You know, one thing I think about too with fresh reboots to the Emperor is just thinking about what are some positive masculine authority figures in our life, or just authority figures, period, in our life. I really, really love revisionist thinking and allowing ourselves to imagine different ways of interacting with this world. Or this new world of the emperor, as well as sort of how we behave ourselves in accordance. I mean, what I heard you said earlier about we wanting the emperor energy to come, I would disagree with the, again, we could talk forever about this. I just want to say what I hear you saying and what I agree with is we're all complicit in it. We're all complicit in capitalism and patriarchy. We can behave certainly in ways that revise it and reimagine it and kind of offset the damages done, but it's there and we have a lot of work to do if we're going to kind of collectively create it and mold it into something new. But I would even offer up that the energies, the positive energies of the card can all help us collectively do that.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You know, as a witch, I think of authority as something that comes from within and that is also co-created by our community collectively. And it's also something that shifts through the community according to skill, experience, and mm-hmm. integrity, right? So mm-hmm. I might have a greater level of authority based on experience than someone else in my group on a certain subject. But maybe on something else, somebody else has authority, or that we collectively hold ourselves to a high standard. So I love the idea of authority in wolf packs. That's something that I really think of. I think of wolves when I think of, you know, the emperor or authority figures. Because have you read that article about the alpha wolf and how it's very different mm-hmm. than the model?
Oh no.
My God, you have to read this article. It is so great.
Where
is it? I forget
the
name of it. It's amazing. They talk about this one specific alpha wolf. And the alpha wolf never loses a battle, right? It's this fierce wolf. But with its wolf pack, It's the wolf that makes every other wolf feel calm. It protects the baby wolves. It plays with the wolf that everybody else is like, that wolf is weird. You know, it becomes the alpha not through dominating, but through leading through example. And so I see the idea of authority as being like, how can we create the greatest sense of calm in our community? How do we foster in other people this an ability of like, you can do this too? So like, if we think of like, what is a good boss? A good boss is someone who makes you feel like
you're capable.
Energized, yeah. And empowered and mm-hmm. motivated and committed. And like, you're all working on this thing together. Mm-hmm. And like, they respect you. They respect you, your voice. And they're really working kind of as like a coach and a motivator that helps you really know why you're doing this thing and helps you feel like you are capable of doing this, of calling you forward and leading you to a high standard.
They're patient, they guide, they're calm, and they also empower you. One thing I think about a lot when I have clients who pull this card, I think of this card as, again, I sort of spoke about it as a talisman of power. I think of it really as a permission granting card. So a lot of times in a reading, it will come up because a client is waiting to hear, hey, like, you can do it, or it's your time. And when this card comes up, it is the permission granter. And I think about that amazing Cher clip where she's recounting the story of her mother saying, hey, Cher, you know, you should really find some like rich man to help you, you know, and Cher responds,
I am a wealthy man. Like, I am a rich man, Mom. Like, I'm the rich man that I've been looking for.
So in that sense, I tell my clients, like, do you need to be your own daddy? Like, is it time for you to stop looking for daddy to tell you you're good or bad, or you're going to be able to, you know, do this thing? And is it time for you to like be your own best daddy?
Well, and that's what I love about the Emperor too, is like the Emperor doesn't get to turn to someone and be like, what do I do now? The buck stops with the Emperor. So the Emperor needs to decide, this is what I'm going to do. And that's where I feel like that sort of administrative skill really comes in. So the Emperor really takes stock, right? It's like, how much resource do I have available? How can I distribute that resource? How can I get more organized? How can I be more practical? Like, how can I set goals that are achievable goals? How do I measure whether or not I'm achieving these goals? So whereas the Empress is just like creating, the Emperor comes in with strategy, builds those roads to distribute the goods so that you can get the goods to the hospitals or builds the schools or whatever. So yes, there are negative aspects to that, absolutely. But we get to revision how we see this working. And so a lot of the time when the Emperor comes up in the reading, I see that my client needs to get way more practical and way more serious about their organizational skills, their goal setting, their budgeting, yeah. Stuff like that.
The Emperor is number 4. This is a number of security and stability. It is a cube and a box. It's also a number of balance.
Yeah, so the cube, the square represented by the number 4 is the most stable structure, while 3s, triangles, are dynamic and very strong, right? So the keystone is a 3, right? That creates an arch, that creates the stability. The cube is like a house and it's sturdy and it's stable, but it can also be brittle.
4 is also, you know, the base of the witch's pyramid. Just yes, throwing that out there.
But the point for is funsies. The 3.
Yeah. So symbolism in the traditional card of this, of the Emperor, we've got Aries represented by the rams that are on their throne traditionally. For some reason, this dude has an ankh. Don't know why. Maybe he stole it from Egypt pillaging. I'm not sure. Do you know why the ankh is there?
Are you talking about the ball with the...
Yeah, like
he. Yeah, I forget what that is now.
His like scepter sculpture thing.
Yeah, it's like a ball of power. I should have looked
well,
into that.
That's all for us to Google. I also think that it's interesting to think of, you know, the archetype in the traditional Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck. He's sitting. He's all alone. He's old. He's not the Knight of Swords. He's not the Knight of Wands. A lot of time has passed. So he's either gained wisdom or his absolute power has corrupted him and left him lonely. We don't know. I also think about this passing of time, like him being older. I think about and the number of four as like masculine ideas of time. So like linear time or calendar time.
Yeah, totally. So I see the Saturnine influence that you were mentioning before in that, you know, because Saturn being the Lord of Time and the creator of boundaries, which I really feel like the Emperor card is doing. I also definitely associate the Emperor with Mars. So Mars rules the will. So it's the energy of separation, of aggression, of pulling away and initiating things, which corresponds to Aries. When we think of the energy of Mars, or we think of the energy of Aries, or we think of the energy of the Emperor, remember, these are always neutral energies. It's really how we use it that matters, because these are archetypal energies that are coming through us and we're finding a way for them to exist in the world. So for instance, if the energy of Mars is like the energy of a volcano is neither good nor bad, right? It just is the energy that it is. Now, if you built your house on the side of it, then it's bad for you. But if you want to go to Hawaii, then you should like volcanoes, because it wouldn't exist without them. So in Linda Goodman's Dynamics of the Unconscious, she talks about the distinction between Aries, the Greek god of war, and Mars, the Roman version. And Aries is this drunken lout, this warmongering buffoon. He's like a football hooligan. And Mars actually is very respectable. Like, he was venerated in Roman culture. And he's like your old war hero grandfather from World War II who like served his country and fought the Nazis and is disciplined and is like a stabilizing force in the community. He's like Jimmy Stewart or something.
Yeah.
So let's talk about pop cultural archetypes of the Emperor then.
So some pop culture archetypes of the Emperor that came to my mind quickly: Nelson Mandela, Grace Lee Boggs, J.K. Rowling, and every dictator on this godforsaken planet.
Yeah, so dictators, building on that theme, Game of Thrones, very emperor archetype show. It shows all the many faces of the emperor, because all the people who are vying for the throne are embodying different aspects of that emperor energy. Yeah, I'm just going to nerd out for a second.
Yeah, so, sorry, I can't follow you. I've like never seen a show. I'm like, just going to be quiet.
I don't know. Okay, Tywin. Okay, so my nerds out there. Tywin Lannister always seems very emperor to me, right? He's just like practical. He's dispassionate. He's just like, I'm doing this for my family or to like gain power. Daenerys, on the other hand, blends the emperor and the empress. Also, okay, so just to go back to something that we can all identify with for you non-Game of Thrones nerds, Barack Obama is like the alpha wolf kind of emperor in my mind, who managed to make a lot of people feel calm. Like whenever I saw him on the TV, I was like, he's got this. I'm not worried about this. He was unflappable. People could call him every sort of name, do every sort of destructive thing, and he'd be like, yeah, I know you guys like to make fun and have your little games, but we're really here for the American people. And I'd be like, oh my God, yes, thank you, thank you. So I know there's exceptions to people who do not feel like he did a good job, and, you know, a discussion for another time. But so whereas Trump, I feel like, is definitely the buffoon football hooligan Aries type of emperor. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't even think that person should even be allowed into conversations of sacred archetypes.
We banish you, we banish you, we banish you. Be gone. Anyway, I've also been obsessed with The Wire recently. Do you ever watch that?
No, but I want to.
Stringer Bell. Oh my God.
That's a good name.
So he's all business, very organized, ruthless, focused, practical. Good example of emperor energy, especially since, you know, one gets a sense that had he been in a less corrupt, less racist world, he could have been like a huge mogul or like a huge force to be reckoned with. But he was forced to operate within the bloodthirsty parameters of his environment. So the emperor also is very much about context, is what I'm saying.
100,000%. So, Amanda, how do you think of the emperor when the emperor shows up in your life? Like, what's your go-to?
How do I know when the emperor's showing up in my life?
Yeah.
Like we talked about before, like when I'm being called to step into my own power, when I'm like being called to get practical, if it's more of like the shadow emperor, mm-hmm. you know, if I feel like I'm being controlled, if I feel like I'm being controlling of others, mm-hmm. other shadow things, using others as a means to an end, denying the humanity of others, getting stuck in the ego, my way or the highway kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. Or it can also mean that you're coming up against an authority who's like messing with you.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like for me, my relationship with the Emperor card changed so much over time. For years, when he showed up, I was like, ugh, and he looked scary and I was kind of afraid of him. Then he sort of looked lonely. Then he kind of looked tired. Now he looks wise. So I think it can change, you know, sort of.
You know what that tells me is that your attitude towards authority and your attitude towards taking power in your own life has probably shifted a lot, you know, because we see on the outside what we have on the inside. So maybe initially you were like a rebel and a resistor, and now you're like, yeah, I'm stepping up to my power source.
I think that's totally true. I also think that just for years of my life, I was obsessed with the patriarchy and how like horrible and horrific it was. And that was the card for me. That was the stand-in of everything about toxic masculinity and control and domination and greed and corrupted power and all of that stuff, which sort of brings us into a little bit more of the shadow side of like when the card comes up and it's reversed or it's surrounded by a bunch of cards like, I don't know, Five of Swords, I don't know, Seven of Wands, you know, those kinds of more combative, conflicted energy, the shadow side of the Emperor can come out. So inflexibility, being, you know, a narcissist, steamrolling, being controlling, either energies in your life or people in your life doing that, or you yourself reacting in those ways around some kinds of forms of behavior or ways of thinking, like being really rigid. You know, it's like the Emperor just really like impenetrable, very defensive also kind of comes up, you know, feeling like the need to kind of defend or to patrol the boundaries of your empire. So what do you suggest when your clients or anyone out there in Radio Land gets the Emperor? What do you suggest that they do?
I suggest that they get really practical, first of all, and that they really do step into their power. Like for me, I too was such a resistor to patriarchy, and all my work when I was younger was about resisting it and pointing out how wrong it was and how all these systems of power were wrong. And my life really changed when I made this decision to be like, okay, well, yeah, all these things are wrong. Like, what do you think should be done instead? What are you doing about it?
Yes.
Instead of just pointing out how wrong it is, like, yes, step up to the plate and change it then. And that's when I really came into my power. And that's when the Emperor started to become, yeah, the wise man for me instead of the oppressor, mm-hmm, was when I started to be like, okay, well, how do I think power should operate? And so that's often what you should do when the Emperor comes up for you, is like, yeah, all these things that you don't like, the authorities that you don't like, the oppression that you're coming up against, like, what do you want to do about this? Like, how do you want to empower yourself and empower others around you? And a lot of the time that's going to have to do with just getting really practical. The Romans were successful largely due to their administrative skills. So planning a budget, gathering your resources, setting dates, making timelines, applying for grants, getting someone to help you write your resume if you don't feel like you're doing it well enough. If you're like, I have a problem writing my website text, well, then get someone to help you solve that problem. So don't let your emotions and your fears interfere with your goal. When you're the Emperor, you don't get to abdicate responsibility. The buck stops with you. So take charge of your life and decide what you want and make a plan to achieve it.
Boosh. I only have a couple more things to add for when that card comes up in a client reading. 100% everything you said, totally. I like to just like to be very, very practical. And one thing I tell my clients is pick one thing a day that relates to future you, 5-year you, what you want to see happen in 3 months or 2 years, your dreams that kind of hang out in your ether. Well, one day I'll, you know, go on vacation or visit this thing or create a play or whatever. Do one thing, whether it's 5 minutes, an hour, 15 minutes, to get those farther range dreams going and make it practical and make it tangible and put it on your to-do list and get it done and really begin getting that kind of ball rolling. I also think that, to your point, it's all about tangibility. You know, it's,
yes. Can I just echo yes. that? Because it's not just about like, be more open to opportunities. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean physically? Like, how can you be more open to opportunities?
Go out and get
them. Make a list of like
places to pitch. New jobs you want to apply for. And then actually like every day, revise your resume, reach out to 3 people.
Send that email. Not just about vague thing about like, you know, I will be more disciplined. Well, how will you be more disciplined? Totally. Will you meditate for 15 minutes every day?
Will you not watch Big Frida reality TV shows for 2 hours a day? Only stop speaking to myself. I also think it's like, take control, go for it, get out of your own way, instigate, just make it happen because you have what it takes. You have the fire, you have the stamina, you're good enough, you're smart enough, you've got it going on. So just go out and get that.
Boom.
Practical and magical applications. Last little piece.
Let's do it. I think you've got some good ideas about this.
Fire. I'm like, work with fire. Work with fire magic, light candles, red candles. Make it hot. Carnelian, tiger eye, fire breath. Also think bigger. Think about the impact your spell work will have on the larger community. Going back to the world that we're creating, you could just say, I'm creating this series of paintings because I want to help other marginalized queer artists like myself see themselves, or so on and so forth. We're creating this podcast because we want other witches or other magical folks to enjoy what we have to say and think about, give them more offerings and more tools. Think about how you relate to the world that you're building in your magic and in your spell work.
Yes, yes, and yes. I agree wholeheartedly. And if you want to call more Emperor into your life or at least get a handle on it, working with Martian energy is really good. So cultivating your will is a great magical technique. Magic is accomplished through your will. And for a lot of us, that is the thing that really gets in our way. So for instance, at the new moon, set an intention for one thing you'd like to do to enhance your will, right? You practice your will, you develop it, you strengthen it like a muscle. Like, will you get up at a certain time every day? Then you commit to it and you do it. Or will you take a 15-minute walk break in the middle of every day? Yes, you commit to it, you do it. So if you feel like you can't commit to it for a month, commit to it for a week. But you need to set a goal and then achieve it, because that's what's going to give you the confidence that you need to keep going. So it has to be an achievable goal. So don't set yourself up for failure. Like, don't be like, I'm going to work out every day for 2.5 hours. Like, that's just not a realistic goal unless you're like The Rock or something. But so you can also do work like setting structures on your altar. You can dress more like the emperor. Like, what does a powerful person dress like? Are you dressing like a powerful person? When someone looks at you, do you think they will say power, authority? Or do you think they will say sloppy mole? I don't know. So when doing physical practices like yoga or even standing or walking, practice feeling into your hips, your pelvis, your power center, right? Because that's where your power comes from. So really focusing on those when you're doing your physical practices. And most importantly, you're going to want to set goals, make plans, and execute them. So even researching, planning, and executing a magical working can lead you closer to cultivating the emperor energy in your life. Dress like an authority, speak slower, stand taller, let others come to you. The emperor is not gregarious.
I really hope that if you're listening to this and you have been sort of afraid or reticent to interact with this energy, or if this card comes up in a reading and it's scary to you, I hope that this was helpful to you, because we're just trying to reshape and revision and reimagine ways that the world can work and authority can be for the good of all.
Yes, and I also want to add that if you are dressing like a slovenly mole, like I often do, this is not a judgment on you. This is like an opportunity, right? Like, if you're feeling like you need to get your shiz together and like you really need to see your life moving ahead and you need more stability in your life, which is what the emperor is about, then these are some techniques that you can use. It's not like a judgment, like revel. Like, lay there, bask in the grass, bask in that empress energy. But then when you're ready to kind of stand up and take your life in a new direction, these are some things that are available to you to do.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We love you.
You can find us
at Oracle of LA, Facebook, Instagram,
or GOTTESSS on Instagram, or visualmagic.info. We love you, witches. Thanks so much for listening. We feel so excited and grateful that you're all here with us. And this is just a little reminder that if you've really enjoyed listening to our show, just tap that 5-star review on iTunes. It helps more people find us, and it is a really nice good deed, and it takes about 10 seconds to do. We thank you in advance.
Witches in the science lab, witches in the backyard, witches in the roller rink, there's a witch wherever you are.